Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're on our second part of our series, Jesus Was. And I know that Jesus is life and Jesus is the great shepherd, but how many know there's some things Jesus walked through and that he overcame? And so last week we talked about Jesus was rejected, because how many of you know sometimes you need a model to say, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. And today we're going to talk about Jesus was emotional. Anyone here ever been emotional? Point your finger to someone near you if you've ever seen them emotional. How many of you guys have ever, through your emotions, did something or said something, and you go, I wished I never would have said that, done that, or even thought that, because I thought long enough, and that thought was like a train, and it took me the wrong train of thought, you know? It took me down the wrong track. Jesus was emotional. Why? He was 100% man and 100% God, but in his humanity, he walked through some emotions, but here's what I want to propose to you today. He had control of his emotions and did not let his emotions control him. And it's not wrong being emotional. It's not wrong that we have emotions. What sometimes is wrong is how we handle our emotions, or how they, man or woman, handle us. And so Jesus, there's lots of illustrations of his humanity. In Matthew 8, it says he was amazed. He had this, when the centurion spoke to him, he was amazed. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, my soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. He experienced sorrow. Anyone ever been amazed one day and full of sorrow the next? The Bible says he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled when he interacted with Lazarus' death. He was deeply moved, deeply troubled. In Hebrews, it says that Jesus offered up prayers with loud cries and tears. He was emotional. Anyone here ever, if you've been emotional, I want you to know we have a God who can sympathize with our weaknesses and understands us in every way, the Bible says. In Mark chapter 3, it says he looked at the religious leaders and was anger and grieved at their hardness. He understood anger and grief. One time it says he was moved with compassion. One time he became indignant with his disciples, angry because they wouldn't let the children come to him. They try to, you know, keep the little preschoolers away. And he goes, hey, don't suffer them. Let them come unto me. He was indignant. He was angry. One time it says he wept with bitterness as he looked over Jerusalem and the city. Why? Because he saw a city that had sheep, were like sheep without a shepherd. There was no one. They were helpless and hapless. And so he wept bitter. He had emotions. We also see in Luke 10, his disciples went out and did ministry, came back, and it says he was filled with joy. Jesus had emotions, yet he learned to lead his emotions and not have his emotions lead him. And today I want to talk about how do we overcome difficult emotions, because all of us have emotions. And some of us recently perhaps have made emotional decisions that we now regret, or we've done something through our emotions leading us that we go, I wouldn't do that again. Colossians chapter 3, I love the text. This will be the one we look at this morning. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walked daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts. Let the peace of what? Christ be the controlling. That word controlling literally means to be an umpire. Let the peace of God be your umpire. How many know some of us need an umpire? In fact, the Bible says to seek peace and pursue it. Peace isn't always there, but we need to seek peace and pursue peace. And one way is to let the peace of Christ control our hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace indeed, we're called as members in one body of believers. Let the peace of Christ be the umpires, the controlling fact. So Paul is suggesting to us that we can have emotions, but we can allow the peace of God to rule and umpire our emotions. And in other words, we don't have to, well, I just felt like it and I did it, and that's the problem. Yeah, how many of you know you can't trust your feelings? I have four daughters. And I youth pastored a lot of junior high young ladies. And I said, you can't trust your feelings. I just feel like I love him. You don't even know what love is. And then I look at them and say, what's love got to do with it anyway? You can't, the Bible says your heart, the seat of your emotions is deceitfully wicked. Your feelings will sometimes lie to you. Sometimes you got to talk. Paul said, why so downcast, oh my soul? He talked back to his emotion. Put your hope in God, son, he said. He talked back. There's times you need an umpire because you got to learn how to point your emotions back to God. See, I want to talk about how do we, when we're on an emotional roller coaster and we need an umpire, how do we let the peace of God control our emotions, our heart, the seat of our what we feel? Number one, if you're taking notes, this is how we can deal with our emotions. To not be emotionally led, we must, number one, focus on God. To focus on God. Now, how many of you know, sometimes when you're angry or you're hurt or you're sad, the last thing you think about is God. It should be the first thing we think about. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, give all your worries and anxiety to God, for he cares for you. Now, I've got some Coke over here. Not that I like Coke, but if I was to open this and pour some of it into this cup, and it's simply a Starbucks cup because I couldn't find a 16-ounce glass at home that I trust. Well, my daughters hadn't pushed the start button on the dishwasher. And so this is a Starbucks cup brought to you by Starbucks and Coke today. They're going to write a tithe check to us and pay for UConn. But you know, if I put 8 to 10 ounces of Coke in here, how many know this isn't very heavy? It's probably 8 or 10 ounces, and I can carry it around for a while. But how many know if I carry this around for an hour, my arm might start to kind of get tired, you know, or if I carry it around for all day, how many know it might be burning even though it doesn't weigh a whole lot? It's not that this is heavy, but if I have to consistently hold it up, it gets heavy. It's not that things sometimes don't happen to us. It's when they happen to us, if we have to hold on to it for a long time, it can begin to wear on us and wear us down. And what's not very heavy gets pretty heavy over time, because we're carrying it for a long time. So when we talk about emotions, we're talking about, hey, how do you quit carrying it yourself? And that's when you focus on God. That's why you begin to say, God, I don't want to hold my worries anymore. I want to cast all my cares on you because you care for me. Philippians says it this way, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Listen, I love how the message says, shape your worries into prayers. Shape your worries and letting God know your concerns, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Say, settle me down. Anyone ever got to get settled down on the inside? Whether it's worry, anger, frustration, you got to get settled down a little bit. It's wonderful what happens when Christ, listen, displaces worry in your life. Displaces. Anyone here need God to displace some emotion sometimes? You need God to begin to take over and he display the worries displaced with him, the fears displaced with his comfort. The worry is displaced with the fact that you know he'll never leave you or forsake you. How many of you ever heard the statement that when you tell a lie long enough, you begin to believe it? How many of you guys have ever heard that? Okay, one person. The rest of you must not have ever heard that. Well, let me just say, the antithesis of that is correct as well. If you tell yourself a truth long enough, guess what happens? You'll also begin to believe the truth. And I want to propose to you that facts and feelings are not as important as truth. Say it again. Facts and feelings are not as important as truth. Fact. You got a bad report from the doctor. That's a fact. And you might begin to have the feelings of worry and concern because you don't like that word you heard. But the truth is, my God still heals today. Fact. Car broke down. You're low on cash. Fact is, you're strapped and you don't know how you're going to pay for the car because another bill came in. But the truth is, God is your provider. Fact, broken car. Feeling concerned and worry. Fact is, you might feel distance from your spouse right now. There might seem to be a wedge between you two, and these facts stir up feelings inside, and maybe you begin to feel lonely, or you begin to fear that something's going on, and there might be betrayal, and you begin to doubt God. But the truth is, God is a restorer of all things, and He holds people's heart in the palm of His hand. And the Bible says if He can steer the course of a river, He can steer the course of a king's heart, He can also do it for your spouse's heart. The fact is, the water's rushing over the boat. And Jesus is asleep. That's a fact. Disciples are freaking out. They go wake Jesus up and say, "Don't you care if we drown?" Fact. Water's rushing over the boat. They're bucking as fast as they can. Jesus is asleep. The truth is, Jesus gets up and says, "Peace be still," and the waves and everything obey Him. Fact is, Jesus died on the cross. Feelings are that the disciples begin to doubt if He was ever the Messiah. He was just a good prophet. And if He was God, why is He dead? But the truth is, He had to die so He could go take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And the truth is, He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And it doesn't matter what your facts or feelings are. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And He sits at the right hand of God the Father today, ever interceding for us. See, sometimes we have facts and we have feelings, but what we have to do is displace those with truth. We have to realize that God is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. See, when we carry our stuff around, facts and feelings around, it gets really heavy until you can displace it with the truth of God. That's why having a daily time in the Word of God is important. That's why even being in a life group is important, to be able to interact with other people who sometimes, when you're discouraged, can say, "Hey, let's take this to God right now. Let's displace this with a peace that passes understanding that guards your heart and your mind." I'm not emotionally led. We must not be emotionally led. We must focus on God, and it could be because God can displace our feelings and our facts with His truth. The second way we can handle emotions beyond focusing on God is, number two, follow the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, "But when you follow your own," what's that say? "Wrong inclinations, your lives will produce evil results." Or let's just say, when you follow the wrong inclinations, you have the wrong results. When you follow the wrong feelings, you have the wrong man. You end up having the wrong actions or the wrong. You kind of get yourself in a mess. But you follow your own, your lives will produce these evil results: hatred, fighting, jealousy. How many guys like those emotions right there? Complaints, criticisms, the wrong inclinations lead to the wrong results. But. And again, I'll bring up the conjunction junction. What's your function? You've got the wrong inclinations. You've got the wrong results. But when the Holy Spirit controls, umpires our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of you want those in your life? So you got the wrong inclinations, leads to the wrong results. But if you focus on God and you're filled with the Spirit, all of a sudden, what happens? That stuff is displaced with something a whole lot better. See, if I take, and I go back over this Coke bottle. Now, I'm from Oregon. This isn't a soda, this is a pop. Let's do a quick little study. Who thinks this is a soda? Raise your hand real high. Soda. Okay, we'll pray for you. Who thinks this is a pop? Raise your hand real high. Who says no, it's a Coke? Doesn't matter if it's Dr. Pepper, it's still a Coke. You want a Coke? Yeah, I'll take a Dr. Pepper. Right? It's like, that doesn't make, I'll take, yeah, you want a Coke? Yeah, I'll take a 7-Up. That doesn't make any sense. You Southerners, you got problems, okay? Go back to Oklahoma where you stole our Supersonics, okay? And, ooh, I just shook that up. Something in me is kind of rising. That anger is coming. Now, how many of you guys want to know? This is what happens. You have the wrong inclinations. You have the wrong results. How many of you guys want to know? It's going to spew if I open it now, right? If there's junior hires, they're all downstairs right now. Oh, me. Baptize you. See, you know, when you have the right, when you don't, you shake. What happens is our emotions are on the inside of us. But here's what happens. You know, we go to an anger management class, or we do this or that, and we never change the inside. I'll turn over a new leaf. And so all we do is we just kind of go, let's just put a new label on the outside. And now, you know, we walk around thinking we're Welch's grape juice, but the reality is we're still Coke. Haven't changed the inside. So instead of saying follow the Holy Spirit, I want you to scratch out the word follow and put filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled on the inside, full of the Holy Spirit, who begins to fill us with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, great goodness, self-control. That's what we need on the inside. That's why Jesus could navigate all those emotions. And there's times He was angry and He had a right to be angry. In fact, it's not that emotions are bad. It's what we choose to do with our emotions that are bad. It's not bad to be angry. In your anger, do not sin. You're going to have anger. Just deal with your anger. Simmer down before sundown. In your anger, do not sin. Don't get a D in anger. Anger's one letter short of danger. Deal with your emotions. Come to God and say, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, what's on the inside is what matters. Just because you come to church doesn't make you someone who's whole yet. It's what God does on the inside that begins to make us whole. There's a transformation on the inside of us. He washes us through the washing of His Word. He changes us from the inside. See, when the symptom comes, the anger, the rage, the indignation, all of those are symptoms of something being wrong on the inside. We have to say, God, change me from the inside out. And how many know God can do that? Three of the primary authors of the Bible were pretty emotionally led people. Moses was pretty emotional. One day God said, speak to the rock, and he beat the rock. He was kind of angry with the people he was leading. And yet God still used him in a powerful way. What about David? You ever read the book of Psalms? You could tell David was an emotional, bipolar, spiritually polar person. Okay, you read the book of God, kill him. God, don't kill him. God, You know, one day, in fact, the loneliness he had is one day he says, I feel like a bird alone on the barn roof. He's all alone. And he went through emotions. Oh, that 1,000 men hotly pursue me. You know, he just had all these range of emotions, yet God still used him because he came to a place and he said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Fill me with your spirit, God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And what about Paul? Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's pretty emotional. Paul was a terrorist. Read the book of Acts. He was killing Christians. No different than ISIS putting on YouTube people with orange suits and killing them in front of. Paul was a murderer of believers and pretty emotional person. But when God got a hold of him and filled him with the Spirit, how many of you want to know? He changed the world and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and changed and transformed history. We're going to have emotions. It's what do we do with the emotions? And I would encourage you, if you have strong emotions, to say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Displace me. So number one, we have to focus on God. Number two, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, we have to find a new way. We have to find a new way. In Romans, it says, don't copy the behavior of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let me propose. If we're one way, then we have to say, God, I want to empty myself of what's... Isn't that nice that God didn't let that explode? Thank you, Jesus. And we have to fill it up with something else. How many of you know that people who can be angry and bitter and hurt can begin to be some of the kindest people when God begins to fill them up with something new on the inside? They're still the same. It's a Coke bottle, but on the inside is grape juice, because some of you, God wants you to have grape juice on the inside. He wants the fruit of the Spirit. There's a new way. And now what happens? What does this mean? Some of us in our transformation process can still be labels gone, still be a Coke, but you're different. You're different. God transforms you. The power of transformation. The good news of Jesus is that God knows everything about us and yet doesn't want us to stay that way. Here's the good news of Jesus. He knows everything about you and he still loves you. That blows my mind. But he loves us so much, he wants to change us from the end. Don't copy the behavior of this world. Let God transform you by into a new person by changing the way you think. Looks the same as before, but it's different. Because God can transform us to a new people. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 says, reverence for God gives man a deep strength and security. Deep strength. You know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're asking God to change the inside. I have an Apple Watch, and some of you have Samsung watches or whatever they're called. When I turn my GPS on my iPhone and get directions somewhere, before I get to where I'm supposed to go, my watch will start to vibrate to tell me there's a turn coming up. You know, when you're controlled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will begin to kind of, hey, Mark, you might want to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Mark, be careful, because out of the abundance of the heart, what? Now speaks. We can ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, and we can ask God to make us into a new person. In fact, I want to give you some homework real quick. I want you this week to maybe write this down, but spend some time in Ephesians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 8. I want you to read through those, Ephesians 3 and Romans 8. And let me just show you a few things. I read it real in a quick way this morning, because here's what I know. We all leak. We come to church, we get filled up, and think, I'm going to go live this thing, and you walk out, and you start to leak. And we're leaky. We don't always hold everything. And I want to, again, encourage you, come out this Wednesday night. We really feel like an area that we want to grow stronger in this church is our times of worship and corporate prayer, where we come together, rally, and say, God, if you can do anything, would you do something here? And we're going to believe God to touch people in a powerful way this Wednesday night. Some people that may have been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to fill them. Others needing healing, we're going to pray for that. Be an extended time of worship. Come this Wednesday at 6:30. But in Romans chapter 8, if you're discouraged, it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the Holy Spirit sets me free from sin. In Romans chapter, now, you might understand, well, where's Romans 8? Romans 8 follows Romans 7. Romans 7. Why do I do what I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do? Anyone here ever lived in Romans 7 where the things you want to do, you don't do, and the things you don't want to do, you do? So Paul leaves Romans chapter 7 and says, hey, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I don't do, I don't do. But the Holy Spirit sets me free from sin. The mind controlled in verse 6 by the Spirit is life and peace. In Romans 8, the Holy Spirit helps me in my weakness. Romans 8, 31, when God is for me, who can be against me? Romans 8, 20, 35, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Spend some time in Romans 8 and find out we can approach God with confidence, it says in Ephesians. And it says God is able to do immeasurably more than we can think, dream, or imagine. Get that in your spirit, because here's the deal. Facts and feelings are not the same as truth. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Truth. I don't think I can get through this problem. I don't feel like I have the strength. And you realize, wait a second here. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. Maybe some of you in here have been walking through a difficult time emotionally. Hard to get your chin off your chest, maybe. Or maybe for you, it's just hard to keep your mouth shut because you want to tell someone what you think they need to hear. You might feel like God wants you to tell them. The world's going to shake you. But you don't have to spout and blow and be controlled by the emotions anymore. You can begin to lead your emotions. Let the Holy Spirit be our umpire. Let me pray for you today as we close. Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I'm so thankful that you're a God who enables. You're a God who can help us control through peace our emotions. And God, we can have the right inclinations with the right results. We can be filled with your Holy Spirit, and we can begin to see the fruit of the Spirit active in our life, because there's a new way. We don't have to continue to make the same emotional decisions. I thank you for that in Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.